AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. More fallout after the release of that video showing the police beating death of Tyre Nichols. CBS's Skylar Henry has the latest.
Five officers involved who were fired are facing multiple charges, including second-degree murder. Memphis police confirmed Monday that a sixth officer, Preston Hemphill, has been relieved of duty since the beginning of the investigation for his role in the incident. Several others who arrived on the scene are also under investigation.
He's dead, handcuffs, moaning on the ground, and everybody's walking around nonchalantly like it's business as usual. So it should be accountability for everybody on the video.
That's Nichols family attorney Ben Crump. Meanwhile, three Memphis Fire Department officials have been fired, and they could face charges in connection with the death of Tyre Nichols. A Chicago prosecutor is dropping sex abuse charges against singer R. Kelly. Speaking to fellow sexual assault victims.
As a survivor, I know that the courage that it took for them to come forward, and I know that for those who were seeking to have their day in court here in Illinois, that today's announcement may be disappointing.
But Kim Fox says R. Kelly will be in prison for decades anyway on federal convictions. A trial is underway in New York for a woman accused of trying to kill a friend by giving her cheesecake laced with poison.
Victoria Nasora is accused of coming up with the intricate scheme.
This woman concocted a calculated plan.
Prosecutor Constantinos Liturgas, in his opening statement, told jurors the poison cheesecake was a key element.
To get her alone in a room, to try to kill her, and to take her identity.
Nasora's friend did eat the cheesecake, then passed out. She survived, but when she came to, realized her passport and other items were missing. Nasora is also suspected of drugging men that she met on a dating website, then stealing their money. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Winter storm watches and warnings stretch from Texas to Pennsylvania. WCBS radio meteorologist Craig Allen.
Inland portions of Texas, as well as on up across the Mississippi Valley and on up towards the Great Lakes. This is an area where there is precipitation, where there is moisture, and it is falling in the form of snow, sleet, and freezing rain.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Israel, where he's been discussing several issues, including Iran's nuclear ambitions.
We agree that Iran must never be allowed to acquire a nuclear weapon.
Secretary Blinken also urged Israel and the Palestinians to do everything possible to calm recent tensions. Former British Prime Minister Boris Johnson discussing a phone call with Russian President Vladimir Putin before the invasion of Ukraine.
He threatened me at one point and said, Boris, I don't want to hurt you, but with a missile, it would only take a minute or something like that, you know.
Boris Johnson made his comments during an interview with the BBC. This is CBS News.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Max Inc. Radio, we are local music with Pete from the Skin Tones.
Here, you have been warned. Not only Madison, the rest of Wisconsin and the U.S., Skin Tones, we're coming at you. We're going to be committing rock atrocities. We're fit. We're in shape. We are tight. We are muscular. We are attractive for our ages. And we are sexy as hell.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms.
Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
I've been recently called terribly curious. Basically, Michelangelo was trolling 15th century style.
There it is. Yes.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. It is Wednesday, hump day. Greg Bach is here. Comedian, comedy club owner, bearded American, good friend.
Homo sapien.
Homo sapien.
I'm all those things. Am I on right now?
You are on right now.
I can't hear myself at all.
Oh, well, how are you doing today?
I'm, you know, doing well. Left my coffee on the coffee maker, but I'll get that back in a little bit.
Well, you got 12 minutes until we go to our first break for you to get your coffee.
But I'm doing well. I'd much rather be in New Orleans, where it was like 65 and nice. This seems like a punishment. Like we did something wrong.
It is cold today.
Yeah.
We were all complaining last week as far as, oh, it's so bad for the ecosystem to not have ice on the lake. And now we're just like, I take it back. I don't care about the lake.
I don't care about the lake. I care about the fact that I'm slipping and falling like every step I take.
You need better shoes.
I have brand new shoes.
Crocs don't count.
These are not Crocs. These are Allbirds. These are wonderful. I don't think
Allbirds have a lot of traction on them. No, that's not. That is slipping and sliding.
You know,
that's the electric slide.
You need treads.
You need treads. You need boots.
You know, I come here every Wednesday for support, being upheld by friends. I considered past tense the both of you friends. Now you're all like, you need better shoes.
Anyways, Jane, how are you doing?
I have boots on with treads. I'm doing well.
Not falling.
I am not slipping and sliding and falling. But I agree with the cold. But we knew this was going to happen. Yeah. And Greg and I were talking about this off the air. It might be 40 degrees next week.
Yep. Yeah. It's supposed to be the 40. I always tell people, like, I complain about the cold for fun, but I always tell people, like, hey, we live in Wisconsin. We signed the terms and conditions agreement by staying here. So we can't really whine that much.
We can. I mean, we can whine. We can certainly always make it a segment and a talking point on a radio show that is about Wisconsin because it's
true.
We're commiserating. Anyways, all right. So coming up today, like always, fun show, good show. At 12 o'clock, Jim Santel, the legal eagle, as he is referred to, host of Morning Cannolis on the Civic Media Network on Saturday mornings, and also longtime lawyer as far as spent 30 years as a criminal prosecutor and civil litigator with the United States Department of Justice. Class is going to be in session. Because I know you like reading case law.
I love it.
So you're different than I am, and you're different than Jane is, and you're different than a lot of people. There's a lot of responsible voters out there who know that they should vote in the upcoming primary, which is February 21st, mm-hmm. and then the general, April 4th, for Wisconsin Supreme Court. We're in a very unique situation where we have four candidates, two that lean politically on each side. And he is going to come here to kind of break down not so much the individual candidates, but our court system. What is a county judge versus an appellate court? And what kind of cases go in front of the Wisconsin Supreme Court? What should we be looking at as far as what makes someone qualified to be in that position? And I'm sure this will also go into some of the pros and cons of electing versus appointing justices. But I thought this was important to do because most of us don't interact with the legal system. We're either not lawyers or we don't love reading case law like Greg Bach does, or, and don't necessarily go through civil litigation. Sometimes if you go through the divorces or whatever, but most of us don't know the law. And so why are we trusted to elect the people who make our laws? And so I felt like this would be a very good, insightful, educational segment to do.
I resent the idea that I'd be made fun of for the fact that I like constitutional law.
I'm not making fun of you. I think it's a very, I think you're, for someone who's not a lawyer, I think that's a very unique attribute of yours. I don't think there's a lot of lay people who are like, let's read some case law. This sounds awesome. And I love you for it.
I love you too.
Then later in the show, Brad Schlichowski, who is the co-founder of Courage MKE, is going to join us to talk about a new property that Courage MKE bought. They are a collaborative movement to provide housing, resources, and services for LGBTQ youth who need help. And so I'm really excited for that conversation. And then we're going to end the day with this term body neutrality.
Mm-hmm.
And what it means.
Yeah.
Is it good? Is it bad? Is it neutral?
Is it right down the middle?
Is it Goldilocks? But to start off, it is National Girls and Women in Sports Day. And as a young person who spent a lot of time playing sports, comes from a big sports family, I tweeted out this morning my most prized picture of myself when I was 9 years old and was one of two girls that was in the Little League in Madison.
Oh, wow.
And I had a short boy haircut and I had people call me Chris. And it's a picture of me kneeling on one knee with a bat over my shoulder, just smiling, happy as can be. And I said, "Happy National Girls and Women in Sports Day." From Chris Bry, who at 9 years old was terrible at Little League, but at least she got to play.
Everyone got a trophy.
And so I've been sitting on the actual story I want to talk about because it's an investigation that happened or what was published last May, right ahead of the 50th anniversary of Title IX. And it was updated in December. But I kind of, because I was like, I don't know when the right time to talk about this is. And then today feels like a good day to talk about it. Because I feel like this investigative report got published without a lot of fanfare. Especially in light of how much fanfare the Save Women Sports movement has gotten in regards to keeping trans athletes out of women's sports. And that being the biggest threat to women's sports, when in reality, this report showed that Title IX was intended to close the gender gap in college and for college athletes, but schools are rigging the numbers, and the University of Wisconsin being certainly one of them. And so, the fact that the actual threats to women in sports kind of just goes without talking about it. And yet the attention that we give, I mean, in Wisconsin, there's so few cases of, top athletes being displaced because of a trans athlete in women's sports.
The numbers are minuscule.
Whereas every single major university with major sports programs is rigging their numbers. And what does that mean? So by packing women's sports teams with extra players who never compete, double and triple counting women while undercounting men, and even classifying some male practice players as women.
What?
So we're going to complain about trans athletes in women's sports, but then count men who are practicing with women as women.
What?
Yep. Schools across the nation collectively conjured the illusion of thousands of more female athletic opportunities than there actually are. And I don't know why this is not a bigger deal.
I don't know either. That's fraud. That seems just like pure fraud.
So the university, to take this, you know, make this a little bit more personal for us, the University of Wisconsin claimed to have 165 athletes on its women's rowing roster, even though more than a third of them never raced once. And some of the women before the regular season had quit before it even started.
165 for any team period seems like too much.
And throughout, we'll link this. It's the report is from USA Today. And it was from Kenny. There's a whole team that worked on this. Kenny Jacoby, Lindsay Schnell, Rachel Axon, Steve Berkowitz, Dan Wolkin, Nancy Armour. And the report's called Title IX was intended to close the gender gap in college athletics, but schools are rigging the numbers. And it's a hefty read because it's everywhere. And it's wild. And it's so they're packing teams. They're packing like cross-country teams. So there was one example where there was 87 women on the cross-country team and 13 men. Only like the top five can score points for in a race, or and so having that many people in the team doesn't make sense. It doesn't give you any kind of competitive
advantage.
And the same thing with rowing. And it's like these places where they can fudge the numbers so that they're technically complying with, because there was the complementary law in 1994 that said that schools that are receiving, just like Title IX, schools that are receiving federal funding have to, then this additional law was they have to report their numbers to the government, of being like, this is equity,
right?
Or this is being equal. And yet it's absolutely not. So my point is, where are all the save women's sports people when it comes to this topic?
I mean, they don't care. I don't know how to, and they just don't care because it's the sports aren't important to them. They're afraid of trans people. They're transphobic. They're, you know, that has nothing to do with it. And my guess is that the people who are part of this group have no idea, have no clue that this is happening at all, because it's not their hill. They don't really care that much about, either topic, in my opinion. They're just afraid of trans people. That's their basic thing.
But you were right, Greg. This is fraud.
Yeah, this just seems
this is fraud.
Apparently it's not.
How can it not be fraud?
Because, I mean, at least when I was reading the report, it's basically they're getting around the spirit of the law, but technically they're compliant because the numbers are the numbers. And if the women are on the team, they're getting counted. And, I mean, it's just...
But I'm talking more about, like, the men who are counted as women, though. Like, that seems like I can understand how you can wiggle your way through the whole, you know, some people quit, some people don't show up. We still have 165 people at the beginning of the year and there's nothing you can do about it. But when you're counting men as women, that just seems like out and out fraud. And why the NCAA, why the law, why nobody's getting involved in any way, shape or form is beyond me. That doesn't make sense. It just makes no sense. And those people who are trying to, quote unquote, protect women's sports are transphobes, and they couldn't care less about this topic.
I agree. All right. Well, we're going to take our first break. We're going to keep the conversation rolling when we come back. If you have thoughts on this, you are welcome and invited to join the conversation. 844-967-2789. Let women play sports.
Yes.
This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Missed your favorite show live on air?
It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
14 overnight under clear skies. Winds out of the southwest, 10 to 15 miles an hour. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 23. Lows dip down to about 4 below. Tomorrow night, mainly clear skies. Mainly sunny skies and calm Friday, with daytime highs approaching 6 above. 33 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network on this Wednesday, February 1st. Happy first day of Black History Month.
Yes.
We're going to talk a little bit about that at the end of this hour and throughout the entire month.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Bach is here.
I am.
Because it's Greg Bach Wednesdays.
Yeah!
Friend of the show, comedian, writer. What else do we call him?
Case law reader.
Case law reader.
Bearded American.
American.
Bearded American.
Bearded American. American.
Yeah. Yep.
And of course, we have Jay Mettner on the board.
Heck yeah.
We are talking about a investigative report that is now a little old, but I've been sitting on it kind of waiting, like, when's the right time to talk about this? And because it's National Girls and Women in Sports Day, I figured today might be a good day to talk about it. And we will certainly put this in today's show notes if you would like to go read it. And I just maintain that there's so many more threats and obstacles for women in sports than the threat or the supposed threat of trans athletes. Here's another one for you that I've been sitting on. You know that there's some mascots who make more than female professional athletes?
Oh, tell me something that won't shock me at all.
Rocky, the Denver Nuggets mascot, is the highest paid mascot in the NBA. Rocky makes $625,000 a year.
What?
I've made all the wrong decisions.
Diana Taurasi, three-time WNBA champion, five-time Olympic gold medalist, is the highest paid player in the WNBA. Diana makes $228,000 a year. God. So I'm just saying, as far as in the spirit of today's honoring today, when we talk about the benefits and the equal opportunity for women to play sports, because this goes back to what we were talking about yesterday. Greg, you missed yesterday. There was a WIAA high school basketball game between Brookfield Central and Cedarburg over the weekend.
All right.
And some of the parents got a little overzealous over a call, and the announcer proceeded to say, "Shut up."
I heard about this. I heard about, oh, come to the Laughing Tap. Please be that guy. That'd be lovely. I'd love to have you around my life.
And so, you know, obviously we kind of talked about the, was he right? Was he wrong? But we also talk about, because this is something that I believe in deeply, is the power of sports is much more than just winning and much more than scholarships and much more than professional opportunities. And so when we talk about the opportunity to play sports, it's to enhance people's lives of people who are playing them. And so thus what Title IX was supposed to be. It's not necessarily the gateway to producing a bunch of professional athletes. It's that giving equal opportunity. And the thing even more important to point out about this, when Title IX was written and put into law 51 years ago this summer, the college, the proportion of women to men in college, women made up 43% of students.
Back then?
Back then. Now they make up 60. And so even though they're a larger population of the student body across the country, there's still BS like this where they're padding numbers and padding ancillary teams to keep more funding, more opportunities for male sports. I'm fired up.
I can tell you're fired up. Your eyes are fired up. I can tell. And I love it. I love this Kristen Bry right here. I want more fired up Kristen Bry in my mornings. I know there's nothing collegiate educational about what I'm going to say is I'm not surprised at all. I mean, I didn't know, and you bring this up, but like, at no, like, I mean, really the only thing that surprised me was the whole counting men as women thing. Cause like I said, that sounds like fraud and that just sounds like something you should get in trouble for, but everything else is like, yeah, that makes sense. Why wouldn't they do that? Cause you know, they're colleges, they're the NCAA. They'll do whatever they can to do whatever they can. I mean, we've seen it for decades now, just not paying athletes and saying they're students, they're not professionals. And all of a sudden, of course, they're going to do these things. And of course, and if women, of course, they're going to screw over women. So, yeah, I'm sorry. Nothing real scholastic, but yeah, of course they do. But they should be held accountable. And I feel like long are the days gone where like this is like explosive investigative reporting where it's like, oh my gosh, this story is going to make the news. Yeah, no, nobody cares.
What I mean, it was a well reported finding as far as how pervasive this
but it's
is.
Not going like, to be on any of the news channels.
I mean, sure. But, I mean, it's also old. Like this, the original report came out like approaching a year ago.
Yeah.
And so it was like, I didn't have a show yet then.
Right.
And so it was one of those things I found after the fact that I was kind of like, all right, like, but we'll eventually find a reason to talk about this because it's not going to be fixed by the time I talk about it.
Well, right. But what's interesting is that it has been a year. And to Greg's point, there really hasn't been any collective outcry about this.
No.
You know, which is tragic.
You know, every once in a while, I think it was during the bubble, the 2021 March Madness NCAA tournament, because they canceled it in 2020, because that was like the very beginning of the pandemic. And then in 2021, when their numbers were still obviously very high, but they kind of did the NBA thing where there was no fans and everything. But they had, I'm forgetting what the name of the, she's like a 6'8", she was playing for Oregon. I forgot what her name is, but she was one of the star players. She had a video go viral, I think, on TikTok of her showing the inequities of the women's gym versus the men's gym. They basically had like tower of weights, like free hand weights, and like a stretching band and like a yoga mat. They're like, here you go, ladies.
Sabrina Ionescu?
No.
Okay, never mind. I tried.
Maybe it was Sabrina. If I saw her face, I'd know exactly who she's, and she's like a dominant player too. She's really good, but
I mean, or maybe Sedona Prince.
Yes,
I
think that's it's Sedona.
Sedona Prince. Yeah, I mean, once again, not surprised, and the reason why I'm not surprised is because none of them are held accountable. They don't have to care, just like the save sports people, they don't have to care about this. They have to care about scary trans people. Scary trans people are everywhere. Did you know that? They're everywhere.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to move on to some other headlines happening in Wisconsin. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
CBS News Brief. The FBI is now searching President Biden's home in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
This is now the third FBI search linked to a location connected to President Biden.
CBS's Adriana Diaz says it's part of the classified documents investigation. Football legend Tom Brady was up early on Twitter today.
I'm retiring for good.
Retiring for good, he says at age 45. He backpedaled on his announcement last year. CBS Sports NFL writer Tyler Sullivan says he leaves with three league MVPs and seven Super Bowl titles.
You look at what he was able to do over the amount of time he was able to do it, and that is what I think is going to be so hard to match there with Tom Brady.
It's another day of flight cancellations and driving woes in parts of the South hit by snow and ice. Three deaths are blamed on the weather. Texas transportation official Mike Peters.
Can't eliminate every patch of ice. So the biggest concern we have are folks out there driving too fast.
CBS News Brief.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
It makes me smile and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh,
oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which right. Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms.
Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in mind of Gene of Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's in mind of Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. Self-monitoring is power. Visit managerbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
She marked our trail up the backbone ridge. Keeps me high as an eagle when I'm on the skids. I guess you gotta come down eventually.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry on the Civic Media Network. No matter where you're listening, on a radio, on your phone, on a podcast, streaming app, whatever, thank you for tuning in. As always, you can listen to this as a podcast. If you miss any part of today's show, you can find it on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen, where you can also find more of the show notes and all the articles that we discuss and all the guests and their socials and all of that stuff. Or you could just find us wherever you find podcasts. Greg Bach, you're here. It's Wednesday. It's always a fun day.
Oh, my good gravy. Yes, it is.
Did you have something to, you looked like you had something to respond to me.
No, I was entranced by your introduction.
Right.
You're welcome.
I'm an entrancing person.
You're entrancing.
Oh, all right. Well, we started off hot. And I don't know if I'll get as hot with our two topics. Yeah. But moving on to some proposed bills in Wisconsin, one of which has to do with felons being banned from owning vicious dogs.
Yeah.
And I am approaching this because I want to be fair about it, but I should say full stop. I love pit bulls. Me? I do not own a pit bull, but I love pit bulls. I love Rottweilers. I love big, meaty dogs.
Yep, they have very squishy faces.
That get a bad rap.
Mm-hmm.
And because they are so strong, naturally. Like, Cliff is a jerk. If Cliff was big, you would not want Cliff around. Cliff just can't do any damage, right?
Because he's a chihuahua.
He's a chihuahua. Like, but these other dogs, in one moment, their bad day, they can cause a lot more damage. But it doesn't make the entire breed a bad breed.
Correct.
So, more of the details behind this. State Senator Andre Jacques, he's proposed this before, but he's bringing it back. And he said, vicious dogs are as dangerous as guns in some cases, which right away...
Red flag number one!
No, they're not. Yeah. you can kill a lot more people a lot faster than even the meanest, strongest pit bull, Doberman, Rottweiler combo.
Kristen, did you hear about the mass dogging that happened up in Oconto? Oh my God. So many dogs.
And so he said, you're talking about putting a weapon in the hands of someone who is not supposed to have access to it, which, to be fair, felons cannot own guns. Some do. And we also have talked plenty about the boyfriend loophole of people who have broken the law, who are still allowed to own guns, but I don't want to get too far away from that.
People broke the loophole who can have boyfriends.
Both too. But the thing with this bill is it doesn't target a certain breed of dog.
No.
It just asks for police to be the deciding fact, who decides and determines whether a dog is vicious or not.
That's absurd.
Yeah. It's going to be the first time you're going to hear a cop go, maybe you should defund us. I don't want to be a dog. Like, I don't work for Westminster.
And I'm not saying that this doesn't happen. Like, I don't, in the article I read, so this is from Corey Hess in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, I didn't see any numbers attached with this as far as how often, how big of a problem this really is.
I mean, certainly there are dog attacks and people have been killed by dogs. That definitely happens. Yeah. But I'm just trying to think of the last maybe three cases that I remember off the top of my head. None of them were felons.
I mean, this is such a weak bill because, like you said, it doesn't target a specific breed. It's only targeting felons. So do we just say, hey, you know what? Let's just go the full way. Felons, you don't get dogs anymore because you never know. Because you never know. Your chihuahua could have a bad day and just mess up someone's leg. And I'm not even being funny here. Like,
oh, there's so many bad dog owners.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, like, why are we targeting felons? Are you doing this to score points saying we're cleaning up the streets? This doesn't make sense. Nothing about this bill makes sense. Period.
Well, if anything, it doesn't make sense to be a priority to me. And if you have examples or numbers behind how big of a problem this really is, that it needs to be addressed and be, you know, pushed through and expedited. No, that's not the word that I want.
What's
expedited?
It is now.
Through committee to get a vote on it. And I'm totally wrong, and Greg and I are totally wrong. 844-967-2789. But I just feel like this is...
out of the blue?
Kind of.
Yeah. It puts too much pressure on the police. Like, it just doesn't make sense. And they and 10, 15 years ago, they could have easily said, like, yes, felons can't own Rottweilers or pit bulls or Doberman Pinschers or German Shepherds because they all could be... they're heavy-duty dogs. They're all heavy-duty dogs. But they can't do that now. One, because there's all this new research says that pit bulls aren't as dangerous as we thought they were. And also, it makes it just targeted more on the felons. Like, now a felon who just owns a dog has to be afraid? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to say it ain't fair.
Well, it's also interesting because this is, in Michigan, Illinois, and Iowa, they all have laws that prohibit possession of vicious dogs. by serious felony offenders. I don't know if it's a little bit, their law is a little more detailed as far as naming breeds or who gets to decide what's vicious or not, or if there's any kind of statute of limitations of when you can get a dog. But it just, I think my thing with this is like, really? This is what you want to push forward right now?
This is the same legislature who thought that voter fraud was such a huge problem that they pushed through millions of dollars worth of legislation and reworking the whole system with there's no proof.
Do you think he owns dogs?
God, I hope so.
Who?
Andre Jacques.
Oh, Andre Jacques. Of the Pierre.
Big guy. I wonder if he has a big dog.
The whole thing. Andre Jacques of the Pierre. It's like he's like.
He does have like 7 children.
Then who needs a dog?
Fair.
How about this? People named Andre Jacques. Never mind. You know what? That would just be mean. Forget it. I'm not going to say it. Sorry, right. Folks. This is a ridiculous.
You're a dog lover. How do you feel about this law?
Well,
this proposal. Sorry.
Again, any dog can be vicious. Any dog can be vicious.
Even Cliff.
Even Cliff.
With his 5 teeth he has left.
And even Barkley, you know, when he was alive. In the right circumstances. And so you can't have just this broad-based definition and not narrow it down. And then why stop at dogs? Why not all pets? Felons can't own any pets. What if he owns a boa constrictor and it gets away?
What if he owns a ferret?
But it just seems...
A feral ferret.
A feral ferret. That would be... Ooh. You know what?
Named Will Ferret.
And I think, too, about... For people who really do want to change their lives for the better when they get out of prison, working with dogs and working with animals is a good way to do that.
Well, we've talked about that on the show about, was that November?
Yeah,
November. When we were talking about the program that's in Oshkosh.
Yes.
Where different inmates get chosen, and it's a volunteer program.
And it's highly sought after.
It's highly sought after as far as they take turns training working dogs. And like, the healing of that, and for them, also for the people who end up getting the dogs, like the whole cycle of that, and like the healing part that animals can provide us. And again, these big dogs just need love too.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And it's a two shot across the bow at felons, because you know felons, well, they're, you know, apparently in the eyes of Andre Jacques, they're worthless and vicious dogs. I'm sure if you asked him, he would say, oh, pit bulls, Rottweilers. And I could make a lot of different, I could trail that back to a lot of different thoughts he probably has about certain people in society. But like, yeah, this is a two shot at two groups of beings.
German shepherds.
I mean, it just doesn't, you know what it is? It's just mean. It's just mean. There's no other way for me to say it. Like, you can say unfair, you can say what, but like, it just sounds mean to me. Like,
and maybe it won't go anywhere, because it was previously introduced in 2015 and in 2021, and it had unanimous support in committee, but then it failed once it was in the full legislature. So there's obviously other Republicans, because if it failed once it went to a vote for the full legislature, there's Republicans who are like, no.
This is, show me some data.
I think that's the thing.
Show me some data. Show me the list of felons with vicious dogs who have attacked people.
Well, and also just, or anyone, like how often are people, like what is the actual, in Wisconsin, the rate of deadly or really, really damaging dog attacks? Then break it down by were they a felon or not.
We should probably just talk to post people, postman.
My friend.
Talk to your mail carrier.
My friend's a mail carrier. He could tell some stories.
I'm sure.
Excuse me, I'm coughing a lot today. My apologies, everybody. It says here in one of the stories, says unfortunately there's a significant problem of animals being used for such unlawful activities as dogfighting, guard dogs for narcotics trafficking, and other illegal activities, and as tools for intimidation. Okay, fine. Attack, like, go after that stuff then. Don't just make a blanket thing. Assume that a felon who has a dog is going to be into these things here. Like, there's absolutely nothing here. It's just, it's vague and it's mean. What's his name again?
Andre Jacques.
Andre Jacques, I challenge you to a duel of words in da pier. That is French for from pier.
I think we got a caller.
Curtis from West Dallas wants to check in. What do you want to say, Curtis?
I want to say, you know what's really funny? You're talking about the stereotype with pit bulls and stuff like that. I had the most perfect dog in the world for 12 years. I couldn't go to South Milwaukee because the mayor down there said that pit bull.
Yeah.
My Duke was the best dog ever. Everybody, whoever knew my dog was the best dog. But it's not the, I always tell people, it's not the dog, it's the person that raises the dog. Mm-hmm. But as far as a person in general, if you're, I have a few friends that are inmates, you know, that came out recently, but from incarceration. But the thing behind it is, a dog is an excellent thing for therapy.
Yep.
And it gives them responsibility. So when you take that away from a person, you might as well take all the people away from it, you know, for anything. What and the bottom line is, if you spell the word dog backwards, what does it say? I'll see you tomorrow. If you want to talk religion,
whoa.
You know what I mean?
Dang.
Totally.
There's a reason why the creature was, yes, when a creature like an animal, any cat, a dog, a bird, whatever you might have, the reason why it's a therapy, because of the fact that when you're upset, the dog knows it and it calms you down. It's automatically done. There's everybody. And from diabetes, my brother's blind. He has a blind dog. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a purpose for everything. And the bottom line is, when you try to take something away from somebody, it's like, I think we have more problems in different police forces and stuff like that to worry about than to do something about a dog.
Well, and Curtis, too, when you get out of incarceration, it's got to be tough enough to have support and a support system. And that's a role that a pet can fill for you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Correct. And you can pet the dog and it calms you down.
Totally. Totally. Curtis, thank you so much for the call. But I think, and I get, you know, the devil's advocate side, if that was your argument, would be, well, you don't have to get a vicious dog. It's like, all right, well, then list what the breeds are. But also, what if it was the dog that you had before you went away?
Yeah. Once again, doesn't make sense. I don't like this. Not a fan of André Jacques. If you spell dog backwards, it spells God. If you spell cat backwards, it spells demon spawn. That's true. That's English. Did you know that?
That's phonetics.
Demon spawn that doesn't care about your feelings.
Speaking of phonetics, do you know it's the 50th anniversary of Schoolhouse Rock?
Oh, my God. They'd be so ashamed of us.
Yes, they would.
God.
We need a new Schoolhouse Rock.
That would be great. Greg, there's another thing for your list.
Schoolhouse Rock, making another. Oh, sure. Just let me write that down. Compose an entire new TV show. You know, you couldn't do it nowadays. The moment you try to do it, that's woke. That's just too woke. Trying to teach children. Because Ron DeSantis just stripped the AP African Studies away. I mean, like it's just everything's too woke nowadays. It's too woke, friends. Cats and dogs, too woke.
Isn't the Stop Woke Act in the courts right now?
Possibly.
We've already talked about that once, and I think I never went back to look up and see what the status was. Because I think it's like, if you can't define woke, how are you going to make this into a law? Anyways, all right.
We almost got fired up, Kristen, back.
We have this slow down,
because
I think we are firing each other up.
Firing, I'm sorry.
So we're going to take a breath. When we come back,
I'm going to pet my imaginary dog.
Right before I went on my honeymoon, Judge Derek Mosley was here, and we talked about so many delightful things.
He's so delightful.
So delightful. And one of them was the fact that he does Black History Month posts every single day. And since today is the first day of Black History Month, we're going to start reading his posts. Come back. This is Ask Us Wisconsin.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
We are joined by the 57th Assembly District Representative, Lee Snodgrass. Thanks for being here.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
How do I need to adapt this based on what has changed since I first introduced it? Government does not move fast. I'm sure that's a shocker to all of you guys. Public policy doesn't change until public opinion changes.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Clear skies overnight with lows around 13. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Chance of flurries tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 23. A blend of clouds and sun. Mainly clear tomorrow night. Lows around 6 below. Mainly clear skies Friday with a high of 6 above. 33 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are rounding out our first hour, and where we started with National Women and Girls in Sports Day. Even more, I mean, I don't know if it's more important because it's the full month, but today is the first day of Black History Month.
Right.
And we are across the Civic Media Network, certainly on this show. I know Earl has a lot of stuff planned, and he gave us some names of different people to reach out to. So I think throughout the entire month, we certainly want to do a lot to highlight, despite being the shortest month of the year, Black history, specifically Black history in Wisconsin, that sometimes we don't know a lot about, even though there is a lot of it. And I thought, at least for today, to do a little segment on our friend of the show, Judge Derek Mosley, who, this is my plug that I will do many times. He actually might come back on the show just to talk about his posts either tomorrow or Friday. But Judge Derek Mosley, forgot how long he's been doing this. Do we have the clip of when he was here?
I do.
So let's talk about that a little bit.
When did the Black History Month Daily Post start?
Yeah. So my mom has always infused Black history. So I'm going to be honest. This was a guilt thing for me.
Okay.
I'm going to be 100% honest. My mom told me when I was a kid about the Tulsa race riots, because my mom grew up in Tulsa.
Okay.
So I have family that went through all of that. And so I went to school and we didn't learn it. And I told her, I'm like, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. And she was like, it happened. And I'm like, I haven't learned it in school. It didn't happen. And I always carried that with me. And I wanted to make sure that my kids weren't having that same experience, right?
Yeah. Where
they weren't learning our history. And since it wasn't taught in the book, it didn't happen. And then when they had the 100-year anniversary and everybody's like, the Tulsa race riots, of course, I'm like, oh, my goodness. It just comes up all the time.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to make sure my kids didn't have that experience. So that's why I started these posts.
So it is exactly what it sounds like. It's every day for all of February on his Facebook, which is public, and his Instagram, Derek Mosley. He posts a paragraph about a story that you may or may not, more likely, have not heard about when it comes to Black history in our country. So the one today is, in 1960, four little six-year-old Black girls embarked on a journey to desegregate the schools in New Orleans, Louisiana. Although there were four girls, most people only know the name of one of them, her name being Ruby Bridges. Everyone has seen the photo of the brave little six-year-old Black girl walking down the stairs, escorted by three white U.S. Marshals. Even Norman Rockwell painted a picture of her and her escorts. Ruby Bridges was the only Black student to attend William France Elementary School. The other three girls, Gail Etienne, Tessie Prevost, and Liana Tate, attended McDonough 19 Elementary School together. Like Ruby, these three brave little six-year-old girls were escorted by U.S. Marshals, threatened by angry crowds, and feared for their lives. On the first day of school, Tessie Gale and Liana Tate were left in the hallway outside of the principal's office for hours and began playing hopscotch on the floor tiles. By the time the three girls were finally placed in a classroom that first day, the parents of the white students had begun arriving to take their children out of class. At the end of the day, Tessie Gale and Liana were the only three students left in the building. By the time the girls got to sixth grade, Tessie was fed up with the harassment and transferred out of the all-white school. Liana and Gail continued all the way through high school graduation. In 2020, hearing that McDonough 19 Elementary School was abandoned and in disrepair, Liana Tate purchased the building to preserve history. She had it recognized as a historic site and is now listed on the U.S. National Register of Historic Places. The Tate, Etienne, and Prevost Center is now known, as it's now known, features 25 affordable housing units and an exhibition space about the history of desegregation in New Orleans, civil rights, and restorative justice. Ruby, Leona, Gail, and Tessie are all alive and only 68 years old.
Oh my gosh.
I was there. I could have visited. Oh, that was beautiful.
That's wild, right? That, I didn't know that.
They're only 67.
Oh my gosh.
68.
But yeah. Wow.
Well, and that goes back to what we've talked about before is like when the disservice all that most of the civil rights photos we see are in black and white. Mm-hmm. So it makes it feel like it's so much longer ago than it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we also always like take like one or two great pictures and always focus all of our attention on one person or one instance so that, you know, Ruby Bridges burned into our memories, burned into our minds, and we don't have a further. Could you, I mean, just like listening to that clip of Derek Mosley, can you imagine as a young man telling your mother who grew up in Tulsa that didn't happen?
That didn't happen.
Oh my God.
But that's just such a kid thing, right? Well, like, you know, you come back and say, Mom, you're so wrong.
I mean, a lot of white people, and there are, I mean, it found out about the Tulsa race riot through the show Watchmen.
Oh, totally.
I did, and I was ashamed. It's like, how did I never hear just like something, just an inkling like, oh, the Tulsa, you know, nothing, zero. It was wiped from our history, and a TV show brought it back. And now it makes you think. And you know, I love Derek Mosley so much. I'm going to read every one of them every day. I want to be his best friend. If you're listening, sir, please be my best friend.
Well, he also, I think he started his new job at the Lubar Center.
We should go visit him.
So we should. I think there's an event coming up. I was like, I scroll through it. I think Chevy, Mayor Johnson, David Crowley, and two other, I forgot who the other two people, but all like black leaders in Milwaukee. They're doing it like one of his first events with his new job at the Lubar Center. And so I need to put that on the calendar and go check it out because I'm very excited to see what he does over there. But yeah, so we're probably, I'm going to get permission from him, but it's a very low hanging fruit and a very easy way to celebrate this month.
And look at what you can learn.
It's a paragraph. It's going to take you a couple minutes just to read it. You know, and I think in general, it's just an opportunity. There's so much we don't know as far as only relying on what we learned in school of our history and when it comes to race. And so we're certainly going to take the opportunity this month as white people to mm-hmm. try to educate ourselves. Yeah. And I encourage you to do the same.
I just wanted to clarify, it's March 21st on the issues, new leadership and new Milwaukee at the Lubar Center. Yeah. And, yep, it's going to be Mayor Johnson, County Executive Crowley, County Board Chairwoman Marcella Nicholson, and Milwaukee Common Council President Jose Perez,
who's
the alderman for the Laughing Taps District.
Oh!
There you go.
There you go. All right. Well, on that note, that wraps up the first hour. When we come back, Mr. Jim Santel is here to give us classes in session when it comes to our court system. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Get up, stand up in the morning.
Give it up,
stand up for your rights.
Stand up
right now. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Don't give it up, don't give it up.
Get up, stand up.
Get up, stand up.
Stand up for your rights.
Get up, stand up.
Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Get up, stand up.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.